Hello, hello. We're doing a nighttime sesh tonight.
Oh my gosh, nighttime sesh. Although maybe when you listen to it, it still will be whenever you listen to a show. But alas.
I wonder if we're going to have that that late night easy vibes feel because it's 8 p.m. and not 10 a.m.
Correcto. We'll find out as we get into this.
How are you?
I'm exhausted, dude. This was a day. We went to what do you call it? An amusement park.
Kennyville.
Kennywood.
Kennywood.
Kennywood. I wrote that. It's Kennywood, not Kennyville. Did you know that Kennywood has been around for 120 years?
It looks it. Was it? Right. Is it like Dollywood?
Well, I don't think so because I would assume that Dollywood has Dolly Parton stuff in it.
Yeah, like I guess the next question I was going to ask is who the fuck is Kenny?
Yeah, I don't know who Kenny is.
At first I thought it was Kenny Rogers until you told me it was 100 and something years. I was like,
no. No, 120 years old. So I actually don't know. I don't know enough to even tell you. But you know what? You guys keep talking. I'm going to do a little Google search. So I can...
You know what, John? You could be right. It could be about Kenny Rogers. They just see him as some kind of like... country music prophet that they had predicted, like Nostradamus predicted Kenny Rogers, like Nostradamus predicted the fall of man.
Oh my gosh. So, okay, here's some stuff, guys. So, founded in 1898 as a small trolley park near Pittsburgh, then known as Pittsburgh. It's so funny. So it says, okay, so founded in 1898 and it says a small trolley park near Pittsburgh. And then in parentheses, it says, then known as Pittsburgh without the H. So it was Pittsburgh just with the okay. G, not the H at the end of the word. The Monongahela Street Railway Company created Kennywood as a diversion for mill workers and their families. So Kennywood was, let's see who it was founded, who it was named for. So it says that it was partially managed by Andrew Mellon. The railway company leased a piece of land from Anthony Kenny that was originally called Kenny's Grove, but was later renamed Kennywood Park by Mellon. So that's why. There you have it. So it's old school, dude. It is so old. Well, see, here's the thing. It's like I started to go to amusement parks when I was in California. So the first amusement parks that I ever went to were Disneyland and Knott's Berry Farm and what's the other one? I forgot the... Raging Waters, which is the water park.
Is Knott's Berry Farm like jam?
Yes, they used to sell Knott's Berry Farm jam stuff. It was like totally like a farmy thing, but it was very much an amusement park with a theme, with a sort of like farmy feel to it.
That's kind of fun.
And then Six Flags Magic Mountain, which was like the... Six Flags is kind of like where you go to the amusement park when you're a teenager, kind of. It's kind of like first you go to Disneyland, which is when everybody goes, like the family. Then you sort of go to Knott's Berry Farm, and Knott's Berry Farm is kind of like the in-between stage. And then when you go to Six Flags has very little stuff that has to do with little kids. It's mainly adults. High school and that kind of stuff.
Right.
So those were the parks that I went to and they're amazing. I mean, they're huge. So when I moved to Pittsburgh and there was this amusement park here, the first time that I ever went was, I think, last year with the girls for the first time. It is a little bit underwhelming when you do go to the bigger parks, I have to say. But if you've never gone to an amusement park, my girls had never gone to an amusement park, then it's like, kind of exciting.
So right. Today was their first one ever.
So yes, this is the first park that they've ever gone to. I mean, this is the second time that they've gone to it, but it is the only amusement park
I've ever seen.
Yes, that they've ever gone to. So they've never gone to like any of the big, big ones.
So around these parts, they have probably something similar to Kennywood called Dutch Wonderland, and it's in Lancaster where everything Amish is. Mm-hmm. And it's basically an Amish-themed amusement park, similar to what sounds like Knott's Berry
Farm.
But it's like surrounded by, but it's like not only that, but when you're done at Dutch Wonderland, you go eat at the Amish farm and then you buy a quilt and then you make a chair and then you go home or whatever people do.
Yeah, but these are like, well, Knott's Berry Farm is pretty bad. Like they're huge. Like they're massive. They're massive parks. All of those in LA, those are massive parks. I mean, you spend the whole day there. We used to go for the day. And we didn't even finish doing all the things whenever we went to those. But Kennywood, you definitely can do it pretty quickly. And unfortunately, it was kind of packed. So we spent a lot of time, you know, online. People say that too. How do you say that? I'm really disturbed when people saying like I was online.
I say in line. You're not online unless you're on the internet.
That's what I'm saying. I always say in line. And then there's some people who say I was online. And I was like, you were in line, right? Not online. Like, why are you saying you're online?
Yeah, to park your in line, internet, correct. Online.
Yeah, but that I've heard people mention, like, in real life, being in a line, saying that I was online. And I was like,
You should ask Mignon, but I think that would annoy her as well.
Yeah, I'm sure. So, but anyway, there was lots of lines, and I kind of ended up kind of quite tired.
Also, for those of you new here, Mignon means Mignon Fogarty, who's Grammar Girl.
Grammar Girl. I know. She's from the long-running Grammar Girl from Quick and Dirty Tips Network.
I probably should have so more specific.
More specific. I know, like, what the heck are you talking about?
Oh, I just wanted to explain Mignon. I shouldn't assume everyone knows Mignon Fogarty is Grammar Girl, but
right.
she's a podcaster as well.
So anyway, that's what happened with me. But alas, we have to tell people why we are recording in the evening versus the morning, because what happened this morning, Jessica?
Oh, the schmoo got another bug bite on his hand, and it swelled up, covered his knuckles, and like his hand was hurting. So I gave him Benadryl, and then I had to wait all day until 4 o'clock for the friggin' doctor's appointment, only to have them tell me you don't have to bring him in for every bug bite. Well, you know what? I call you at 8:30 to find out if I need to bring him in. I explain the situation. They say, yeah, we really got to see it. Then I bring you in to see it, and you tell me I don't need to bring... It just makes me crazy. I canceled everything today, and he was a very good boy until we left the house. But we left the house. I was a little early to the appointment, so we went to the park. We went to the appointment. This is when things started to go sour. He was so excited to not be in the house anymore that he couldn't stop talking to everyone. And he walks up right to the desk. I'm here for a bug bite, Isaac Kupferman. And then, like, walks away and starts playing with some other stuff. And then we go back there, and he's asking the nurse what her middle name is, and can he look in her ears, and what does this do? What does this do? What does this do? What does this do? And then literally neither of us could get a word in edgewise with him. Then we leave, and we go to Marshall's, same thing, only now at Marshall's, he's getting rammy. He wants this toy and that toy and this toy and that toy, and he's spitting. Oh. And then he argued with me because we went to go look for shoes his size, because I was killing time till dinner now, till Scott gets home. And we were going to go to Bertucci. So he sees a pair of Crocs. Now, in his daycare class, there's only 2 or 3 boys there at a time, and a class full of like 20 women. So it's only natural for him to pass a pair of pink Crocs in his size and demand them. And I was like, and I was really, you know, and I was like sitting there torn. You know, like, there's another family like checking out shoes with their kid. And I was like, Isaac, I know you want, I need the Crocs. Everybody has Crocs but me. And I was like, right, but they're pink. I don't care. I love them. I love pink. Pink's my favorite color. And I was like, and I look at the dad and the family and I go, please tell him why he can't have the pink Crocs. And the guy's like, dude, man, you don't want those. And I was like, I do want them. I do. And he was like, pink's for girls. Sorry. And he was like, okay. But I mean, I said it 18 times. But I was really torn. Like, shouldn't I just buy them for him? Like, who the fuck cares? But I didn't want, like, other parents to think I'm pushing him to be gay. You know, it's complicated. Oh, I don't care that he's gay. I don't care that he wears pink. I don't care. And I've never cared. Nathan used to come with Emily and I on manicures, and I would paint some of his fingers or toes, whatever he want. You know, I don't care. I don't care if they're gay. I don't care if they're straight. I don't care if they're, I don't care. But like, he's only 3 and a half, and I, there's no reason why he can't just be with his, like, his classmates. It's just silly. If people stare, who the fuck cares? I should have just bought them for him, maybe.
Yes, like, you just talked yourself out of this whole thing, and I have to tell you that
I'm right,
you
though,
cannot,
right? I should have just bought it for him.
You have got, like, if you, whatever, like, there's going to be a point when he's going to make those decisions, meaning that he's going to develop the extra layer of what society tells him he's supposed to or not be able to do.
I know. I was really close to buying them, Elsie, but I punked out at the last minute because I was panicking a little I was just a little panicked at like the whole process of going through the store with them, checking out with them, or him wanting to wear them. I don't know. Like, there's no reason why I should care, except I just don't want to have to answer. It's just stupid. The more I talk about it, the stupider it sounds. There's no reason why I shouldn't just buy it for him.
I have to agree. I agree, dude. Because it's like, here's the thing. It's like, there's been a little, there's a little boy who is the son of, we go to this incredible gymnastics, like school, and that's where we go do like a parents' night out and all that kind of stuff. And then she's got these two boys. One of the boys is, I think he's now almost 4 years old, and he loves wearing dresses. Like, he loves wearing dresses, and he's got like long, like curly blonde hair.
Yeah,
but he's in no way like the what I love about him is that he is such a boy. Like, you could, like, with and all the way that he moves around, and he's really into his body, and he's just all the things that little boys are.
Oh, yeah, boys, but are just boys. Yeah,
but he just loves to wear these gigantic like long dresses too. And he throws a fit if he can't wear them. And his mom's like, all right. You know, it's like, and literally most people kind of go like, oi, what's going on here? Because he's very much just all the things in one package. But you know that he fully loves to be whatever it is that he wants to be. And his mom's like, just whatever. Just put him out there.
You know what? I think I'm going to go back and get them. Because you're right. I mean, you're actually talking to someone who once convinced another parent to let their teenage boy wear their clothes to see if they were really like the kid was like, I don't know. He just kept getting caught with like girls wearing girls' underwear. And so, you know, finally he was just like, you know, I just would like to see if this is what I am or not. And if you would help me, it would be great. And she was like, I don't know what to do. I'm like, put him in the damn dress. What can it hurt? You're at your house. Let him wear one of your dresses. Let him see if he likes it. The kid was like 15.
They'll make the choice. There's already.
But also, it's not a tragedy. I mean,
it's not.
I don't know.
Like, you know, Hunter.
I'm gonna go get him for him.
And I think for little girls, it might be a little bit different sometimes. Like, Hunter decided she's really sad about the state of girls' clothing. You know, in the girls' area. No, it's just not what she wants. Like, the styles are lame. So anyway, we were at Target with my mom, and she was like, I want some pajamas. And we're like, okay, cool. So we went to the pajamas section, and there was not one set of pajamas she wanted. So we went over to the boys section, and she fell in love with these Minecraft pajamas that are like totally gigantic for her because, you know, boy sizes are slightly bigger, and she's a petite little girl too. Like, she is actually kind of smaller for her age. So she has these like giant, like, you know, Minecraft pajamas that are totally like not what you would imagine, but she loves them so much for her because I was like, but she loves them. And I just think like she can wear whatever she wants. Even this, she just bought a sweatshirt in the boy section again. Because girl sweatshirts are not very utilitarian.
No,
and she wanted something that was warm and fuzzy and thick with a big hood. And that's not what happens with girls' clothing. Girls' clothings are lame. So she went, and it's a great sweatshirt, too. I was like, my God, that's a really awesome sweatshirt. Where'd you get it? She came back, but what all I'm getting to is that they will tell you what they want. Maymay has always been like that, too. She prefers things that are kind of more gender neutral than when she wants to wear a dress, she wears one. And then when she doesn't, she does that. Like, all her Halloween costumes, Maymay is always wearing something that is totally gender neutral, at least for people to see. Like, she was, you know, like, what is the last thing that she was dressed in? Oh, she was one of the Paw Patrols. She was the one that dressed in blue. I don't know what his name
That's
is.
That's different. I mean, yes, Isaac always wants to dress up as one of the PJ Masks, and they're all different animals. Doesn't matter. I don't care if girl or boy. I don't care. It was just their bright pink crop. You know, who cares? It's just stupid. I mean, Emily used to do the same thing as Hunter. She shopped in both sections. She didn't give a shit. Some days she wanted to be frilly and dressy, and some days she wanted to wear. I mean, and actually she did this her entire, from Hunter's age on. The entire store was at her mercy. Like, men's clothes, women's clothes, girls' clothes. But, like, she didn't care. If it's what she wanted to wear, she put it on. Now, take that for what it's worth. She did turn out to be bi or gay or whatever she was, but whatever. I'm just saying, like, I don't care.
But the thing is, we are the ones that are assigning the colors to the gender. We're the ones that are doing that.
I know. I shouldn't have done it.
I know. Does that.
You're right. You heard me talk myself right out of it. I'm just going to go and get them for him because it's right across. You know, Marshall's right across the street.
Right.
You definitely can't work on the way there.
No, you can't work.
It is but, right across the street.
Yeah. And
yeah, that was a mistake. So anyway, so then we went to Bertucci's where he stood up the whole time and was yelling and talking to his food and about his food to anyone who would walk by. And by the time we were sitting down to eat, I had basically heard enough of his voice to last me the rest of my natural life. And then I was like, Scott finally got there and I was like, you're up, Buttercup. And then that's when you were like, can you record tonight? And I'm like, yes, for 3 hours.
I want to talk to somebody else.
Oh, my God. Not him. But here, let me just vent for a second. Yeah. Not that I'm not married to a saint.
Right.
Okay. Because we all know that he married me. So therefore, he's a saint. So.
Yes. Agreed.
We get home and he's like, yeah. You can record if you want to. And we get home. Like, I'll put him in the shower and then I'll put him to, you know, and then we'll get ready and it'll be fine. I'm like, great. So I feel like this is understood territory. So it's 7 o'clock. We come upstairs. He starts to get in the shower and I'm like, all right, so I'll see you guys later. And he goes, well, wait, what time are you recording? And I'm like, in about a half hour. And he goes, oh, well, when are you going to be done? And I was like, probably 8:30. And he goes, oh, so I have to put him to bed again because we switch. We switch off. Right, I'm like, did you just ask me if you have to put him to bed? I'm like, it's your turn. He goes, well, it's not your turn because I did it last night and I was in there until 9:30. He wouldn't go to bed last night. And I was like, I was just with him for the last 10 fucking hours. I think you can handle it. Wah! And I left. I mean, honestly.
Well,
I mean, way to get stuck in like the whole whose turn it is. It's your fucking turn because I rearranged my life today. That's why it's your turn. Because I don't like either one of you now. That's why. Go away. Ah!
Well, there's a point, though. Like, so yesterday, just to kind of bring this back slightly to podcasting, I had to do that San Francisco podcast meetup thing that they had me come in virtually to talk about how to grow podcasting, which was super, super fun. And I was all excited because I'm here in Pittsburgh, except that their meetup was at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Okay. Therefore, you know, I had to be ready at 10. So I said, Rand, do you think that you can, you know, you put the girls to sleep and then, you know, when I'm done, they should be asleep because they generally go to sleep at 10. Like we start the bedtime thing at around 9 o'clock. By 10 o'clock, usually my children and myself are asleep.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Okay. So I'm like, can you do that? And he's like, sure, no problem. So he came up into the bedroom like at around 9:45 and essentially everything was done. All he needed to do was just kind of hang out with them for a little bit. They'll fall asleep. I'm going to go do my thing. I'm going to be done. I'm just going to come back upstairs and crawl into the bed and go to sleep. Right. Mm-hmm. So I come back, went a little over. So I ended up coming upstairs at around 11:30. I opened the door. Ran is asleep because I opened the door and he woke up when I opened the door. Both girls were asleep. I mean, awake.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, and so, I'd be so
and
angry.
So he gets up like half like groggy and stuff and he leaves the bedroom. And then I come back and I'm like, why are you guys still awake?
Yeah.
And he was leaving.
Dude, I'd be so mad. How are you not so mad?
And I was like, why are you? And then Maymay's like, because I was hot, Mom. It's so hot. And I was like,
aww.
You guys, it's 11:30. It's like an hour and a half after your bedtime. What was happening up here this whole time?
Yeah. What happened?
I don't know. And so there's times where I'm like, oh. Well,
that would make me so angry. But see, now the difference between Randy and Scott is that Randy would wake up and go, I'm not sleeping. Scott would be like, I'm not sleeping. Because he does this to me every night. Every night he dozes in front of the television, starts to snore. And then I'm like, why don't you go to bed? You're tired. He goes, no, I'm not. I'm wide awake. I'm like, no, you're fucking not. I'm staring at you with your eyes closed. I'm listening to it. No, you're not. You can't listen over your own damn mouth. Let's go. It doesn't make no sense to me. Ugh. Scott would totally deny it. I didn't fall asleep. They were asleep just a second ago. Yeah, okay. The other thing he also does is like when he was still wearing diapers, anytime I would come home.
Not Scott. Isaac.
Not, yeah. Scott doesn't wear diapers. Yeah, Isaac. Anytime I would come home from anywhere and Scott was watching them, Isaac would need a diaper. And I never said, I never gave him shit about it. I never did anything. All I would do is say, I would pick him up, say hi, and go, does he need his diaper change? And Scott would go, I just did it. He said it every time. How is it that every time he just did it? I'm like, you just did it when? 2 hours ago? You just did it 15 minutes ago? Did you just throw the other one away? How just did it? Did you just do it? Look at it. Like, he's such a denier. Where at least Randy's just like, night, hon, and then just leaves. Like, that. I like that. That's what I want.
Yeah, there's no denying. It was
own
like.
Own your business. Yeah. Own your business. Just own your business. Don't play a game with me. I can't. I'd rather him just be like, yeah, I fucked up. Whatevs. You know? Because who cares? Who cares?
Oh my God, that's so true.
It is. It's so. Would you rather Randy have woken up and been like, they were asleep 5 minutes ago?
No, yeah, because that's. But I have to say.
Now you're just angry and irritated.
Right. Yeah, and actually, he would have. That's so anti him. Like, he's just such a truth teller. Like, it's totally like.
That's
just,
actually you.
That is
you're
me.
You're the one that's more likely to be exactly. Like, they were just asleep.
You are correct. Yes, that is me. He would never do that. He's just, that's just not his thing. He's just super like truthful and
I totally
straight
wouldn't
up
either.
And,
I never would either. I'd be like, yep.
I was asleep.
Bye, fucked up. Bye. It's kind of funny. Anyway.
But before, here, hold on. Before we move into the news, but I have to do this because I haven't done this and I have been very kind. I feel a little bit guilty now, slightly on the disrespectful side. So I have to give you guys a goat. Update because the last time that I spoke about the goats, my Pine, my little boy Pine, was having some serious urinary problems and I was very upset. I thought he was going to die. Mm-hmm. And that's the last we spoke about it. And this was like months ago. And I keep getting tweets from people wondering where the goat, how the goat is. And I keep forgetting to update y'all about this.
Yeah. So how's your goat?
All right.
Pine?
So I actually don't know because they went to a babysitter.
No,
because I'm just sharing so that people understand that they will get more. So essentially he made it. The thing is, the last time that I talked about my goats, I said, I don't know if he's going to make it. The end. And I
all
never
right. Yeah, that's
mentioned
right.
It again.
You're right. Aww.
So I am saying Pine is alive. Both of them. Pine and Bucky are happy. They're alive. They're thriving. They're at their babysitters. And the babysitters is like an open field where they get to play outside and they're being taken care of really well. So they are fine. The reason is that I don't know anymore is because we haven't seen them since we left in mid-June. We're going to be going back to North Carolina. By the time you guys hear this, we will already be in North Carolina. And then we're going to get the babies back. So that's when I'm going to see them. And then I'll be able to share more about my goats and all that stuff. But I just wanted to give a quick update to let everybody know Pine is fine. And so is Bucky. Both of the boys are fine. I just haven't seen them and he survived and all the stuff. So there you have it. The end.
Thank you. I feel so much better now.
Okay, I know. Everybody, yes,
sleepless. It's been a sleepless summer. Not gonna lie. I've been agonizing over it.
All right, can we move into some news now?
The news you can use. For the informed podcaster, podcasting news. Are you ready to rock?
Yes,
let's do this.
You have some weird ass news.
Okay, so. Here is the headline. Host launches podcast to defend road rage charges.
What?
It's from Radio Inc., who reported back in June that WGOW Chattanooga host Jeff Styles was charged with aggravated assault and vandalism after he was shot when he approached a vehicle with a tomahawk in a road rage incident. His case has been referred to a grand jury, but now in a new podcast on his website, Jeff Styles says he was stalked, terrorized, and shot while acting in self-defense. The website that hosts the podcast is called The Mind-Blowing Truth Stranger Than Fiction, Ground by Gears of Legal, Not Justice System. Talk Radio's
what?
Jeff Styles story, stalked, terrorized, shot, then stripped of victim status.
That's the name of the podcast? All of those words?
That's the name of the website.
Oh, okay. Wait, still though.
The Mind-Blowing Truth, Stranger Than Fiction, Ground by Gears of Legal, Not Justice System. That makes no. That's a long title. Hold on. Well, his podcast is on jeffstylesamerica.com.
Okay.
Maybe they misprinted where the website was. Oh, yeah. That's the title of it.
My God.
So he started a... Is this a whole separate podcast just about this?
No. I guess. I don't know.
Just a... Yeah. Is that bonkers or what?
That is really bonkers. I'm so confused by...
I think it's brilliant. If you have charges against you...
Start a
why
podcast?
Not just start it? Yes. All of the things that you're guilty of will just immediately go away. Why didn't I think of that? Well, because I don't have charges against me, for starters.
Right.
But if I did, that's where I'm headed first. Right to the mic.
Oh, my God. This is super, super interesting.
Isn't that weird?
I mean, literally, that is the name. Like, you guys have to go to the website. So it's jeffstylesamerica.com, which is what Jess just said. And literally, right at the top of the page, it says, Talk Radio's Jeff Styles story stalks, terrorized, shot, then stripped of victim status. Mind-blowing truth, stranger than fiction, ground by gears of legal, not justice system. What the heck?
That is a title and a half. By the way, that goes against best practices for titles, just so you know.
Alas, though, his podcast is really just the Jeff Styles story. It could happen to you.
But it hasn't, because it's the Jeff Styles story.
That's right.
Not the Elsie Escobar story.
Correct.
Correct. Effermint story.
And I have to say that that picture that is at the top of the page, you guys are going to have to go see this website, like, right away. He looks like he's... It looks like that's like a mugshot of some kind, doesn't it? He does not look particularly... That's not a very good shot.
He's not a happy chap.
No.
He's not a happy chap at all.
No, not at all.
He's not a happy chap. That is what those of us in the radio biz like to call an understatement.
Oh, my God. So anyway, well, that's really interesting. Oh, and then he has a tomahawk. You're right. And so... Oh my, dude, he is literally, he says, my defensive weapon explained, and there's a huge tomahawk. Now I'm going to have to listen, because what? This is very
pretty
strange.
Pretty exciting stuff.
Oh my God. Anyway, that is some pretty weird ass news. Thanks for sharing.
Yeah, that's some podcast news you can't live without. On to the next thing.
So, you know, this is just a commentary, and I guess it's kind of news in podcasting, kind of, okay. Sort of, and kind of being a little, a slightly judgy. So I am going to out myself.
Can't wait.
Slightly judgy. I'm a little judgy.
Get your notes out, because when Elsie gets judgy.
Yeah, I'm a little judgy.
All on the table.
Because, you know, our friend over at Nick Kwa from Hot Pod, and I'm saying our friend as if he really cares about us at all.
He does
but
not.
He does not.
Just so you guys know, he does not care.
He does not care about us at all. So here's the interesting thing. It's like... You know, he has a weekly newsletter. You guys can subscribe to it. He's a very good writer. I give him that. He's very good. I do love the way that his mind works. It's always very entertaining. And I think that one of the reasons that I get so judgy is because I'm like, he just like leaves a lot of stuff out that I think that he should definitely cover. And I think, and to some degree, indie podcasters, I could see how he could look us over and kind of look down his nose at us because we don't really matter. I could get that. I understand
that.
All right. But, dude, we had Podcast Movement that just went down, right? Right
it
before.
It is the biggest event
yes.
of the year.
Yeah, and of the podcasting industry. And mind you, it almost doubled. In size, like last year, I these are crazy numbers, guys. Sorry, Podcast Movement, Jan and Darren. I don't know if I got the right numbers here.
You totally just called them Jan and Darren.
I did.
That was amazing. Go ahead, though.
Dan. Sorry, Dan.
That was awesome.
And Jared.
I think you just shipped them.
You totally did ship them.
Sorry,
that's right.
Guys. I'm so sorry. That's what happens late night.
That's hilarious.
Anyway, but I think that the like last year it was somewhere around 1,200 people there, and this year it was like 2,600 or something along those lines. I mean, that's more than double of what it was, and the like the amount. I mean, so there's the amount of people, but also the type of people that attended was the most diverse that I've ever seen. And I'm not just talking about race, you know, race diversity. I'm talking about like from people who just started their podcast, don't have a podcast to like some of the like Apple, like Apple was there. Like there, we had all kinds of people. All the procasters were there. All of commercial radio was there. I mean, there were so many different layers of the people. All like app developers were there. Audio engineers were there. All the people who are creating new DAW, like, you know, all kinds of things for new recording stuff. I mean, all of the people. And Nick essentially said, hey, guys, I'm not going to Podcast Movement this year, which is fine. I totally understand. I mean, that happens, right? Our life gets in the way. So he didn't go. Understandable. But then he never even mentioned it afterwards. Like, he never even said.
He doesn't have like a wave reporter or anything.
No.
Like a, yeah.
Like zero. And then what he did report was Third Coast Festival, or I think, I don't know, it's coming up. And
let me look at that one.
And so I was like, do you not? I mean, there was a lot of stuff that went down.
Well, first of all, Third Coast isn't until October 4th.
Yeah, so that's what he reported on.
Well, it hasn't happened yet.
I know, but all I'm saying is that's what he mentioned. Like, he never once.
I think what you're saying is it's irresponsible to ignore the biggest event in podcasting if you are a podcast, quote, journalist, unquote.
Yes. Absolutely, especially with the way that it shifted and changed, because I know that he was in Chicago for sure. I don't know if he went to LA. I have no idea. But I do know he was there in Chicago, which was a different event. Like, if you were to qualify Podcast Movement in Chicago versus Podcast Movement in Philly, even though there was a lot of the same things, because it is mm-hmm. Podcast Movement, mm-hmm. it has absolutely evolved into something.
Of course.
More. Much bigger. Just more. In all ways. In all things. Mm-hmm. And so I was just a little, I was like, I cannot believe he never even mentioned it. Like,
yeah.
At all. Like, not even to say, wow, it doubled. You know what I mean? Even that.
Yeah.
I mean, so anyway, I just think, I don't know. I'm, and it's not about indie podcasters. This is about the entire industry. There were conversations happening in about the entire industry there that don't happen in other places. So anyway, I just thought I'd just comment, slightly judgy, and I understand he may not necessarily care about us, but as an industry, I do believe that it matters. Absolutely, it matters, and it deserves to be covered.
I think you're right.
Can I be a little judgy myself here?
Sure.
Because there was a guy, his name's Greg Opie Hughes. He was part of the Opie and Anthony show. He was syndicated. He was a big deal. He got fired from Sirius. Now he has his own podcast with Westwood One. And he was there. And he was doing his podcast from there. He's like, I don't understand these podcasters. There's all these podcasters here. Nobody's podcasting. And see, what happens is he doesn't understand how podcasting works. Usually when he would go to an event like that, they would have a radio row and they would all broadcast from there. But we're there just to network and do it. So he had no understanding. So he's walking around with a H4N recorder in the middle of all that chaos and he's recording. You can barely understand him because of the background noise. It's the worst podcast I've ever heard. Sound quality. He has no idea how. I can't believe a guy that has made that much money in radio, that has made been in the industry that much, cannot podcast. I mean, I love it and hate it all at the same time for the simple fact that he has no clue and he's walking around judging. And I'm like, dude, if I put a podcast out like that, I would take my recorder and smash it with a hammer.
Well, you know what, though, John? I mean, I have to say that there were times when that did happen, like, those were some of the most fun podcast episodes that I really got hooked on some shows, like the MacCast. Adam Christensen used to do this incredible, like when there was MacWorld. MacWorld was an all Mac conference that used to go down near and around San Francisco back in the day. It was actually where all of the it's kind of like Podcast Movement, but for Mac people. And so they would all show up in one place, all the developers, all of the podcasters and all that stuff. And then what Adam would do is he would go up and down the show floor and he would interview all of the app people that were there, all the people who had new apps, all the people that had new stuff that they were showing, all the Mac bags, all of the things. And he would record everybody. But those were my favorites. And the show and the quality was really great. It's just that I understand what you're talking about, John.
Those shows are a lot more like the NAB show, where broadcasters are expected to be broadcasting. But Podcast Movement is much more about, I mean, yeah, but also people are so, like, I don't know. I wonder if it's also quality of broadcast, too. Like, we don't have the same kind of equipment, so we're afraid to not make as nice of a podcast as we can when we have our whole setup. I don't know. But Opie kind of does have a point, but I'm just saying, back to Nick Kwa, mm-hmm. There's got to be a reason why he's not mentioning it or not acknowledging it or not paying attention to it, because literally, I should not, gotta stop saying literally, but everyone else seems to be there. There's not one company in the industry I can think of that wasn't there. So it doesn't even make sense that he wouldn't be there just to do his own research and interviewing and whatever else. However, I do want to ask you this, though, and I don't claim to be a journalist, so it could be a different situation. But if for some reason I secretly or openly felt like I shouldn't support that event, even though everyone else does, would you expect me to still go and pretend? Whether I was a journalist or not. I mean, on the one hand,
that's true. You're right. You're right. I think, you know what? On the one hand, you're right. Maybe if he's just like whatever and he doesn't.
Isn't that his job, though? I mean, maybe he doesn't like it.
Well, that's the thing, is you're supposed to have the story. Yeah, get the story.
It's the story. I mean, you have to report on the story. Yeah. You don't have to glow and guffaw over Podcast Movement, but you got to cover it at least or mention it.
Mention, I know, and I think that's what it was. It wasn't necessarily that I wanted like a play-by-play from Nick Kwa on what happened on Podcast Movement. Like, that's not what I was expecting.
Yeah, and I have no idea how he feels about Podcast Movement. But the answer is, yeah, you kind of would. You kind of would expect me to go, you can't say you're the owner of a newspaper and then not talk about Donald Trump because you don't like him, if that's the case.
Right.
You can't just not report on the president, period. For whatever reason, you can't be sick that day. You can't get a, you know, you're a journalist. You have a paper. That's what you report on. You don't like it, don't have a paper.
Right. And I think you're right. I mean, we'll see. So for sure. So what I would have expected was something along the lines of giving essentially the most specific unbiased facts about the event. You know, Podcast Movement went down on these dates, August 23rd to 26th.
Here's the website.
Here's the website. Yeah, something like that. But even after the event, like I was saying, like, it looks like attendance doubled this year. These people showed up and it looked like it got a lot of coverage. You know, even if it was something like that. If you guys want to check it out, here's what went down. Here's a write-up. Somebody else covered it. Here's the link.
I agree. I think, like, it's irresponsible.
Just like that. Like, it doesn't,
I think it's irresponsible to not mention it. I mean, regardless of the reason, it makes him look petty and less credible by not reporting on it at all. I don't think it's a good move. I mean, I'm sure that it's not going to hurt his career in any way, and I'm sure he knows that. But for all of us who are judging him on the inside, it's petty, dude. That's not cool.
That's true.
We like you, but that's kind of petty.
Right. Yeah. And it's like,
even if you couldn't go, if it's not because you don't like them and it is because you couldn't go, say something.
Right.
It's still not cool.
Right. Absolutely.
Silly.
Just because of the, yeah. No, I agree. I agree. And there's other people who did a really wonderful job. I mean, you know, there was a lot of different types of coverage for the event. And there were a lot of really interesting conversations and analysis that you could take to your own neck of the woods that has to do with this wonderful audio industry that we are working in right now, right? So there's lots of conversations that I think we can all participate in. And there are all these little factions that happen to actually have been together at that time. And that actually made me really happy. So I don't want to just keep talking about Podcast Movement now, because we'll never end. And it's been
months. Can never end.
It literally can never end. Okay.
The next thing is about listeners. Right. And I thought this was a really interesting article in Rain News on the 1st. So we've been avoiding it for some reason. But and actually, this was, I believe, it was presented at Podcast Movement. Sorry, PM. We don't want to talk about them anymore. But by Tom, forget his name.
Webster,
Tom Webster from Edison Research, who did some surveying of non-podcast listeners, and I just thought the results were really interesting. So people who don't listen to podcasts, 37% don't understand what a podcast is. Now, this, again, is not the entire country, but just the percent of all the people who don't listen, 37% of those people don't listen because they don't understand. 48% don't listen because they're not sure how. And 65% of them say there are so many, they don't know where to start. Now, if you are listening to this and you have a podcast, you inevitably have heard this almost every time you tell someone you have a podcast, one of those things. Mm-hmm. What is a podcast? Oh, you know, I've always wanted to listen to one, but there's just so many. I don't even know where to start. So this is what's called real or perceived listening barriers. 80% of people, oh my God, 80% of people don't think they have a podcast app on their phone. They didn't even know they had it. And 62% say listening can use up too much of their data plan.
Yep. These are all, this is such wonderful research. I love all of these things. And that's actually, it's what I talked about in the San Francisco podcast meetup about growing podcasting. Yeah.
That's why I wanted to bring it up, because I thought if anyone could speak to it and how to fix it, it would be Elsie Escobar.
Yeah, well, I know. And I think that that is something that at this point in time, it's something that we really do need to think about. We are right now continuing to market to the existing pool of people who are listening to podcasts, right? So we kind of take it for granted. Like, you're listening, and then our listeners know what to do. And we go like, oh my God, our latest episode is up and all this kind of stuff. But we don't really ever look outside of that. I actually wrote another article, hopefully it's coming out soon. And part of this is the fact that we need to have a little bit of that education ourselves. Like, we need to take it on. And there's a variety of ways to do it. And one of them for me is about being able to help people understand when to listen to podcasts, right? Mm-hmm. Because a lot of the time, they can be a solution to a problem that somebody's having, versus you should listen to podcasts. Like, let's say somebody who doesn't listen to podcasts is having a really hard time with their toddler, or is going through a divorce or something like that, and they feel really alone and they don't really know how they're going to get through it or something like that. Instead of me saying something like, you should listen to podcasts, I literally can say, oh my gosh, I just heard this incredible conversation between so-and-so and so-and-so, and they really, it, like, the story from this woman is amazing. Here, let me show you how you can get it. So yeah. I'm not necessarily telling her to listen to the podcast. I'm literally just giving her the solution to the problem, which is solved in as a podcast. Yeah. And that's an easier way to get in there. My kid's having a hard time falling asleep, or like the Sleep With Me podcast. You know, it's like, oh, I'm having a hard time sleeping. Have you ever tried listening to this? And just present it as a solution, versus the totality of telling people, well, podcasts are these things that you download, you subscribe to them, and you do this. No, you just give it, give it to them. It's like when somebody has been talking about trauma, like one book that has continually came into my, people are telling me you should read this book. It's called The Body Keeps the Score. And it's an amazing book about trauma. But like, that's a solution to a very big problem that a lot of us have. But it doesn't necessarily matter if it's somebody giving it to me as an actual book or a Kindle book or an audio book. It's still the same solution to the problem. And that is step number one, right? So that's how, anyway, that's just, I could keep talking about this stuff, but I think you guys need to think about this data and not like think about who else is going to solve this problem, but for you to be aware of the behavior that's going on around you to see if there are any places in there where you can really start to build what I call a listening culture around podcasting. So,
yay. Thank you.
You are so welcome. Yeah. You're like, oh my God, she's gone off into she's riding the horse right into this.
Where
article.
Am I? What planet never is this? Stop. Okay. Off we go.
Let's move into some tool tips, because I want to talk about this.
We have some cool ass tool tips. You can go first.
So. Okay.
Elsie's tool tip.
This is a super easy tool tip, dudes and ladies and dudes is everybody to me. So dudes, y'all, dudes.
Just so you know. It's because I'm trying to be more gender neutral. Sensitive.
Yes.
I don't say guys and I don't say ladies anymore. Even though I know I'm talking to a bunch of guys or a bunch of ladies, I do not say it. Instead, because I am a hick, I've decided to say y'all.
I say y'all all the time. Also,
y'all is better than addressing your entire audience as you guys or you or ladies and gents or whatever. I'm trying to be more sensitive about it. And I know there are people, I mean, I don't know that there are people that follow me that have they, them pronouns, but I want to make sure that if they ever are, that those people don't feel like I'm being callous about how I address my audience. Now, if I was from Connecticut, I probably couldn't get away with y'all. So just quickly, what else could people say if they don't want to be like
peeps,
listeners,
peeps. That's what I say. Hey, peeps. So
hey, folks.
Folks is another. Yeah, folks is great.
Folks is probably good. Okay, like go ahead.
All right. Anyway, folks. So this is coming from the latest update to the Spotify app on your phone. So this is the Spotify app on your phone, either for Android or iOS. I have not verified the Android version, but I'm kind of speaking out of turn here. So if there are any Android users, please correct me if I am wrong. But now there's this really cool functionality. If your show is on Spotify, you can go and share your show directly into Instagram stories. So if you go inside of your show, you can, I know it's so cool. If you go inside of the show itself, you can share the show. So what that and there's a little button on the right hand side, like those little three, they're kind of like a three little button thingy. You press it in there and it opens up another way to share in all of these different places, a contextual menu kind of thing. And that gives you the opportunity to share to Instagram stories. And so what it does is it automatically just does what it would do, what you would imagine it to do. It actually opens up Instagram and it has this sort of like image of your show or an episode. So you can share a show or a specific episode. And right at the top left is a hyperlink so that when somebody is listening inside or like looking at your Instagram story and they tap on the top left that you shared from Spotify, it immediately takes them to their Spotify app, to the specific episode that you shared or to your show. So, and this is super, super, I mean, in terms of what we were just talking about people not knowing how to listen to a show or that it's hard, I don't know where to start. And this actually takes all of that out of the way. You can literally just say, listen to the button, press the button here. And then it, like, let's say you as a listener, listened to a show that helped you do something or whatever, you know what I mean? That was one of the best shows that you've ever heard. You found a conversation super inspiring. You as a listener can actually share that to your Instagram story. So it's not really just a marketing tactic for us as podcasters. It really is a wonderful way for your listeners to share your show with somebody else. Super easy. And they can share with their people and say, oh my gosh, I just heard the latest episode from whoever that you love. And you guys need to listen, tap right up there. So it's, I love this. It's so easy and it just removes so much friction. So that's my tool tip for this time.
I thought it was super cool. I saw it as soon as it was available. I started using it. It's such a good way to share your new episodes, especially, I mean, I've actually, maybe you've noticed and maybe you haven't, started to use Instagram a lot more, especially the stories. I'm trying to work up the nerve to like do like a show on a regular basis. I'm not sure if it would be like IGTV or anyway, I can't figure it out, but I'm just playing with it so I can work up the BASS. It's awesome. Cause I kind of forget sometimes to share my episodes and then I'm like, it's too late. I don't know where to put it. So now I can just be like, hey, you guys, guess what? Everything I just said was completely incoherent. I apologize. Just thought,
oh my God.
Should I throw that out there? At least I know that it was and I'm owning up to it.
Dope. Dotes.
So sorry. I was just trying to agree and I got excited and then I made no sense. So I apologize. Cool. Moving on. The next tool tip is something that was reported today in Pod News by James Cridland. If you don't know Pod News, go to podnews.net. Thank you. Podnews.net and sign up. It's amazing.
Oh, anyway. And wait. He showed up to Podcast Movement. He covered Podcast Movement. He flew from across the
world. He certainly did, sweetheart.
He was in a different continent, and he came. Just saying. Okay, go ahead.
Certainly did. He did. That's true. He's the Brit. He's a Brit, right?
I think that he's not. I think it's Australia. I may be wrong. James, I'm so sorry. I don't know where you're from.
I don't know. But he's not from here. We know that. which made it sound like an alien. Didn't mean that either. Okay. So Podkite is a new, how do they call it? And it is market intelligence for the podcast industry. All of your podcasts, ranks, and reviews in one place. So you start typing, you go to podkite.com, start typing in your podcast. You can only track one for free right now, and they don't have the ability for you to go premium yet. So pick one Wild's Light or use a different email address. But I typed in our podcast. I got our rank, and I opened, and then it like pulls it up, and here we have. We are number 28 in Apple Podcasts Canada under technology and podcasting.
Ooh, we're fancy in Canada. Should we move there?
We are, yes. We are number 64 in the U.S. under technology podcasting. We are 145.
Wait. What number are we in where in the U.S.?
64.
I just got the feed, and the feed is 65. So she
shut your hole. That is incredible.
I know.
No way.
Yes.
Really?
How about that? I know.
That's freaking crazy.
Yeah, I know.
That was insane. Let's see. What else do we have here? We are 145 in the UK. This is all technology podcasting, so I'm going to stop saying it. We are 153 in Germany, 155 in France, but 54 in Brazil.
Oh my God, we are so fancy. The feed does not rank like that at all. We are far above the feed.
We are?
Yes, yes.
Well, we are very cool. Now,
yes, we are very cool.
I'm not seeing Google Podcasts right now. Maybe I have to select a category, but I can't seem to pull it up. And I mean, it's still wonky. It just launched today. So like, let's not all get crazy. But right. I thought it was cool. It also gives you the reviews and you can like copy and paste. So you don't have to. It's pretty nice, and it's free for your one podcast. So go to podkite.com, stick it in. That's what she said.
Or type it.
Or type it and see what you get. It's pretty cool, yo. I'm excited.
You can't check
on anybody else. It's just yours. So now I wonder, what do you have to do to rate?
What do you mean to rate?
To like rate in the damn thing so that you could find your stinking show.
I see. I don't know.
Well, because here's the thing. Like, she podcasts, like, I refreshed and then it came up. But so let me try again.
So what are the trending lines? Because there's a trending, there's a top ranking trending thingy-majigger. Like, there's,
I know.
Like, because, like, the feed is trending down.
Uh-oh.
For United States technology. The feed is trending down for the United States technology thingy. It's got a red button.
Ours is at 326. I don't know. It's complicated, right? Like we're not sure how to use it. Here's what I do know. It's ranking all the shows, unlike PodTrack, which only ranks whatever you put in PodTrack and then has the balls to publish an industry report telling you what the top 20 shows are.
Right.
But it's not the top 20 shows. It's only the top 20 shows. And PodTrack drives me crazy.
Yeah, it's
at
very
least
annoying.
These guys are ranking all the shows, all 500,000.
And in all the world.
And in all the world. So all the shows in all the world, even the ones that are defunct, like your, I mean, like, you know, some poor yoga schmuck is never going to get to number one because Elsie, even though she hasn't done a show in 4 years, is still getting hundreds and thousands of downloads a month.
Not hundreds and thousands.
Okay,
dude,
okay,
but
a lot.
Whatever. A lot more than, I mean, a lot for somebody who hasn't published an episode in 4 years. Okay.
A lot.
There's a lot of people who want to get my download numbers. And they're working their tushies off to do that, and I'm doing nothing. So I get it.
Let's see if Lady Business Radio is in there. Nope. I won. It's not. It's just all up in your Lady Business is in there, but not.
But that's crazy. I know. That's so cool. But I like these rankings.
I wonder if that means that they don't pick your show if it's either not getting enough or if it's old. Like, did you look up Elsie's yoga feed?
No, because I was just using...
Elsie's yoga class is in there.
Is it?
Okay. Yeah. Of course it is.
What am I ranking?
Hang on, it's doing its thing.
Okay.
You are 41 in Apple Podcasts in the United Kingdom under Health and Alternative Health.
Look at that. That's pretty good for not publishing anything for 4 years.
Wow, that's amazing.
Hold on. You're number 3 in Apple Podcast in Taiwan in Health and Alternative Health.
What?
You're number 6 in Apple Podcast in Hong Kong. You're
really famous in
you're
Asia.
Number 7 in South Korea in Apple Podcast. You're number 9 in Apple Podcast in Spain.
I need to move to Asia. I'm number 9 in Spain?
Wait, that's and you crazy, broke the man. Top 10 in you're number 10 in Switzerland.
Wow, that's crazy.
Right.
I should definitely put out more shows.
That is crazy. No, you shouldn't. Should you?
I don't know. But I mean, come on. I'm famous.
I know. You're something already.
Well, you are a Hall of Fame podcaster. I mean,
I feel you that makes me sad. I mean, it makes me feel a little bit sad because it's like, seriously, I have not touched that website nor done anything for 4 years. And yet,
what's fun that. Is that you can put any show in here. I'm enjoying that, and you can see how, where they're doing. So, like, let's put
oh,
in like
true.
Biz
so that you
chicks.
Can't lie, right?
You can't
so
lie. That's
you can't
exactly
lie.
Right.
Like somebody can just look at your stuff and be like, "No, dude, you are not."
Yep.
But just the fact that She Podcast is ranked at least a tiny little bit more than the feed, and that they're back.
But
to
like,
back,
I just like looked really- up the Biz Chicks podcast. She's doing very well. Yeah, it's kind of fun, right? You can just
yeah,
pick
it's totally cool.
a bunch of shows. Hold on, I want to look up somebody. Who else can we look up? Who can we I look don't up? Know. Let's look up the Sleep With Me podcast because I love that dude.
All right.
Okay. Sleep With Me podcast, the podcast that puts you to sleep. Let's see. Number 2 in health, alternative health for the United States. Number wow. 12. Number 12 in health. Number 1 in Apple Podcasts UK health, alternative health.
Oh my
number
God.
Number 3 in UK health. Number 1 in Ireland and number 1 in Australia for alternative health. That is awesome.
Crazy. That's amazing. Good for him.
It's so cool. I love it.
I love it. I
who
love
else
it.
Can we spy on? Who else? Who else?
Well,
who else?
We are, dude, we're going over here. It's
all
time
right.
for us
okay.
to just be
okay.
quiet now.
All right. Okay. Well, are we done? No, you still wanted to talk about the Weird Wild Show of the Week. Are we?
I think I'll...
Just tell them about the damn show. It'll take
all right,
2 seconds.
All right, here we go. Here we go. All right.
Now we've teased it. We have to.
Weird and Wild.
Weird and Wild.
Weird and Wild. Show of the Week.
So these are like that. The like these are the best type of shows that I love to see out there. And I immediately texted Jessica and I'm like, this show sounds like something that you would do.
Someday I probably will.
And it is actually this is from an article from the standard.co.uk and the title is Dead Funny, The Woman Breaking the Grief Taboo Through Podcasting. And so essentially what she does is she just talks about grief. It's called the Grief Cast. And the reason that I thought that this was super resonant is because that this is true. This is something that a lot of people don't really know how to talk about. And grief is something that is prevalent, obviously, in our culture. There's many times that we lose loved ones as a surprise or have lost a child before they are born, if you will, like a miscarriage, or you know, have a surprise and your mom and dad dies, or for whatever reason and in our lives, we might have grief. And we don't really know how to deal with it, I think, as a society. There's a lot that is mentioned, I think, inside of this article, as well as another article that I don't know if you've seen it, Jess, about the impact of losing a parent. And what that does to your mental health. It's really interesting because of a lot of like not losing a parent in terms of like let's say I know that you lost your mom, but you were older, but what that impact is when you're a child and you lose your parent and what that does to you essentially for the rest of your life and in the way that you're brain chemistry works and all this kind of stuff. It's really intriguing. So anyway, when it comes to grief, I think that there are a lot of nuances that we don't talk about. And she actually does it in a really wonderful way because of the mix of humor and emotion. And I think that that's really where the balance is with a lot of these conversations. And I know that, Jess, you do this really, really well, where you can have all the feels and at the same time bring the lightness to it or bring the humor to it so that we don't really get stuck in cause that's the grief cast for me would be me crying every episode, like nonstop. Versus with you, you would probably, you know, you bring a little bit of the levity of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a little different of a situation, but it's funny because she says in the article, over time, she became the go-to grief girl. And I'm totally right. The go-to grief girl, not just among my friends, like people who know me send their grieving parents or parents whose kids are missing or addicted or getting sober. They all talk to me about it. And it's great, actually. Well, let me rephrase that. It's not great.
Right.
It is. I'm honored to be able to help. And actually, I don't even know if I told you this yet. I did tell you this yesterday. I just got accepted into a program that will teach me and certify me as a practitioner in a program called Life Reentry, which is basically figuring out yourself after you've gone through a horrible loss. So it's basically like how to, it's done by our mutual friend, Christina Rasmussen, who wrote a book called Second First, which is about all the first times you do things after the person dies. So this is the first time we've had Christmas without this person. This is the first time we've gone to eat a hot dog without this person. And the book turned into a class helping people go through this process. It is all based on brain science, which is why I absolutely love it. Because, yeah, of course, there's grieving and crying. But it's also, first of all, as a practitioner, when people do send their people to me, I'll know what to say because I'll know medically what they're going through. And I won't have to relate purely on my own misery, which is what's hurting me now is that, like, when I have to relate to people, I'm always just like, dude, I know how it feels. It sucks. And all I have to give them is my empathy, but no knowledge. So I feel like if I could have the knowledge, first of all, it would help so many more people in a more productive way. But also, I think it would help me go through it too, because then I'll understand, oh, my brain's just doing this. I'll allow it to happen rather than be like, why am I having an identity crisis? You know what I mean?
Correct.
So I'm really excited about it, even though it's like, I'm so excited to help people who are, it sounds weird, but I'm excited about it. Because I totally get that. And yeah, I do think there is something about when a parent dies, because my mother died and I had an identity crisis then. Because you think, I want to be just like her. I don't want to be anything like her. Or I want her death to mean, first of all, in both cases, I've wanted their death to mean something. So I've changed something in order to honor what they went through or what they meant or lived for. I don't know. It's weird. But I don't know. Maybe both those things happened so that I could find my thing, which is maybe it's this. I don't know. So yes, I would like, I've always wanted to do a show like this. I know I'm not going to copy it. I'm sure she's doing a wonderful job. I would probably be more apt to do one about addiction than just grief itself, because those are the topics that really still are pissing me off. Like, the grief part is a secondary to the fact that, like, she probably wasn't in a place that, you know, like, she went and told her halfway house that she had relapsed. And they were like, do you have any more drugs? And she said, no. So they were like, okay, well, if you feel like doing it again, just do X, Y, and Z, and then sent her home. She should have gone to a detox right away.
Right.
Anyway, there's just so many layers. Just the one that killed her. There are so many times people were just like, okay, you're cool, see ya. And she was not cool.
Yeah.
You know, so those are the kinds of the things I would like, because I want to help people through that stuff too, because it's so complicated and hard. Also, I think I know I'm going on now. Elsie's getting antsy, but I'm just gonna add this and then I'm gonna let it go. One of the reasons I want to do it and focus on grieving parents is because there is a level to when your child or when anyone you love dies of an overdose that other people who are grieving don't deal with, and that is relief and then guilt,
right?
Guilt. First of all, guilt that you're relieved, but then also guilt that you couldn't help or you couldn't save them. Or, I mean, I have been ripping myself apart for sleep training her when she was 8 months old.
Yeah.
Like, that might have caused borderline personality. Who the fuck knows? So there's a whole level of it that I think you don't have to deal with when your parent just gets sick and dies. That just happens because it happens, you know. Anyway, so enough about that. I will let you guys go because I know Elsie is like peeing in her pants to stop because we're over an hour. And so everything will implode if we don't get off the fucking phone. So
come
on. Gotta go, because even though this is a podcast, it's very strict and important that we stick to the 60-minute no longer regimen. Even though what we teach is let it be whatever you want it to be. It's about you and your kind. No, no, no. This is it. Gotta go. Peace out, motherfuckers.
Hey, I got to hold on to some kind of control over here. Something.
Well done.
I got to set my boundaries. I am just clear. What do you say it? You know, those people who are like the coaches, like Randy Buckley, who is like a boundary coach. What is she?
Yes, boundary.
That's
yes.
what she does. Coaches, yes. Right? So this is my boundary.
Okay. I'll just say this, though. My boundary. Right now who's listening to this is thinking, yes, good luck trying to control Jessica.
That's what I was thinking.
But I have a boundary, and we try to stick to it. And I am tell you about it all the time.
I am respecting it, but also I know that our content, no matter how long it goes on, is fascinating.
You are correct. You are correct.
All right. Goodbye, all right, everyone. Thank you guys so much for listening. You can find us on shepodcasts.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at shepodcasts. Please join our group. It is free. Facebook.com/groups/shepodcasts. We have a free little tutorial in there about how to get started if you're thinking about getting started. So check it out. Thank you always to John at Audio Editing Solutions. He is the best editor ever.
In the world.
If you want to catch Elsie on her other show, it's The Feed. Go to Libsyn.com. Check it out. I'm going to be, I actually do another show with John called Brilliant Observations. And I am putting education up in something called Podcast Success Academy. Check that out. PodcastSuccessAcademy.com/Jess so you can see my pretty face when you get in there instead of Mark Asquith. That is it. I think we have said all the things. Oh,
we have
email us if you would like feedback@shepodcast.com.
That's right. And give us feedback, yo.
Thank you, guys. Feedback.
Okay, see ya.
Love you.
Mean it.
Bye. That's it. We're just getting into it.